Now we both kinda like it. Now we both kinda know that if we're ever gonna make it, we just need to let go.
You're listening to the Crosscutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment.
I'm recording this podcast on May 5th, 2017. I'm at the StirTrek Software Convention in Columbus, Ohio, here at the Schottenstein Center. My guest today is an architect turned manager and a former co-worker of mine, Seth Petrie Johnson. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. I've been trying to get you on the show for a while to talk about something that's important to you, and you summed it up as the art of the possible. What does that mean?
Well, there's a story that I'd like to tell. The idea here, the theme, is finding ways to be successful when it seems like it may be very hard to do. So finding a way to essentially snatch success from the jaws of defeat, or to be successful when it seems very, very difficult to do so. And it might make more sense if I go into the story and tell it that way.
Sure, go right ahead.
You know, this is 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago. I was a consultant. We had a client who had recently won an award to take over a government website. So there's a website that had a bunch of forms. People would ask for information. There's a whole bunch of workflow behind the scenes. The current vendor was going to be going away, and our client had been awarded the contract to take over the software. Well, they had been through, I think when they came to me, they had been through 2 consultants already who they tried to convert the software. It was, if I remember correctly, a bunch of PHP on top of some ancient database, not well-architected, designed, not well-written. The first consultant they'd hired to try to go through, I think, had just been a complete disaster. The second one had been doing a better job, but they had the sense that there was just way too much to do in the time frame allowed. So they came to us. It's kind of like a Hail Mary. And I think they had, if I remember correctly, we had 2 weeks to demonstrate to the board, the end client, that there was a plan that was going to work, and then maybe a week or two to finally get live. And I look at the code, and if I remember right, it was 70, 80,000 lines of undocumented PHP, just legacy crap code. And there was, I think everyone before me had tried to do like a very mechanical, straightforward conversion. Take one file, convert it to some new language, or take that one file and get it working. That was just, because there was no documentation, there was no way that was going to work. So my options were to tell the client, you know, sorry, this is not going to happen, or, you know, to really understand what they needed to happen to be successful. I understood they needed to show progress, to have something tangible to show to the government client, and then some plan to actually get online and do something real. What I sort of realized is that the majority of these pages were a form. It was a, you know, form that collected data, you know, there was a post, and there's a whole bunch of back-end stuff. But I thought, well, we can probably write something to convert the PHP into ASP.NET and get the web pages online, very, very straightforward. And then we do something with the, you know, find a way to handle the dynamic pieces. So I spent about a week or maybe 3 days or whatever it was, and I wrote a script to convert all of the PHP pages over into ASP.NET. They had lots of little sections of PHP in the middle, but HTML browser, I didn't care. So within the first week, we had a website up and running with pages between 75 to 100% complete. The next thing we realized is that in order for the end user success or the end user experience to be maintained, we just needed to have those forms say, thank you, we have your data. So I took every single form, there were maybe 75 of them, I wrote a generic form handler that would just take a form field with the name of a recipient and just email them the data. And then we converted those 70 forms so that they all pointed to the same endpoint, and then we had an email go out to the appropriate people. So at this point, it's maybe the middle of the beginning of the third week, the site is online. It's responding to requests. The end users are able to make their requests. Now, the back end is still a complete nightmare. There's no way to do anything. It's all paper and pencil process now. But we were still able to deliver enough of an experience that the government didn't yank the contract. My client had to scramble to get all that back-end processing in place. That was all after I left. The point was, whereas everyone else had said that we can't convert these things, it's not going to work. My approach was, well, what do you really need? What is the core essence that you have to have? And then we found the art of the possible, the way to figure out what do you really need? And then we delivered that to them. So that's sort of the idea. I don't know where to go from there, but it's a kind of thing that if people think about that, if they approach a problem from what is the real core essence that needs to be done, then you start to see all types of solutions that you wouldn't otherwise expect.
The other people who failed before you came along, you're telling me that they failed because they were trying to maybe bite off the entire project. They were trying to be astronaut architects, maybe. Is that the right word I'm looking for here?
Either that, or they were just doing it in a very linear approach. They might have sat and said, well, maybe we want to redesign it. And then that failed because you didn't have the information to redesign. Or even if they had approached it and say, well, we just need to convert every single thing over, right? So you start with one page, and you do a line-by-line conversion. And of course, then you find one line calls into some function you didn't know exist. And you go there, and it's 10,000 lines long, right? And it makes 3 database calls and talks to some other service. So there's this, it's the rabbit hole, and you don't know where it ends. So the mechanical linear conversion process, there was no way to put any predictability around that. You would just start, and you were done when you were when done. You have no idea how to know when that would be. My approach was to say, well, let's not do that. Let's find a way to get something online that does not require touching the vast majority of this code. Because there's just no way in 2 or 3 weeks I'm going to convert 100,000 lines of PHP. Even just trying to understand it, let alone rewrite it or convert it or do anything else, would have been impossible.
How did you come to an agreement with the client about what was possible and what they needed? I mean, what are some tools you used to come to that realization?
It certainly helped me that they were desperate, right? They knew it was a bit of a Hail Mary, but it was a communication, right? It was just talking, and a lot of it was honesty. I was very upfront and said, I do not see a way that we're going to convert this. If I'd been the first client saying that, maybe the first vendor, perhaps they would have been resistant. But as it was, they'd had 2 vendors fail, so maybe they were more inclined. But we had an honest conversation. And then I asked them, what do you need? And they said, well, we have to have a website up, and we have to have all these end users feel like we're there for them. To me, it was kind of a fairly obvious line to draw that we can focus on allowing the end user to submit the request. Everything beyond that, of course, was smoke and mirrors, or even just smoke, not even any mirrors. But we could maintain that very basic requirement. I don't know that it's what they really, really wanted, but we were able to collaboratively decide that that was something I could deliver. And then I think, of course, the part and parcel of that is actually doing what you say you're going to do. I managed to only commit to something I thought was possible, and I actually delivered that. I think those two, so they knew what they were going to get, they actually got it. And the thing they got had it at its core, a piece of what they wanted.
Has there been times since this engagement that you've had to do similar things? And how have you applied what you've learned there?
It's an ongoing thing in software, right? We never have the time to do everything that we want. We never have the scope or the budget to do everything that we want. We're always in the situation of figuring out, what has to be cut. Once you've done this a couple of times, so you're dealing with people that know that you can deliver, it's a little bit easier to negotiate, but it's an ever-present or ongoing, what can you do? You kind of think of it as iterating, right? Anytime that I start out to say, I'm going to build this huge tower, it almost never works. But if I say, I'm going to build the first layer, and then the second layer, and the third layer, that tends to work. Yeah, just having a conversation. I think just having an honest conversation about what really is necessary and focusing on value and not form. If I had asked my client, what do you need the website to look like? Maybe they would have gone down a certain road. But I said, what is it that you really need? And they said, we really need the user to feel like we're listening. So at that point, I could design the technical pieces to make it happen. So I think maybe just not focusing on a specific implementation or not letting the details crowd really identifying what is core.
I have a brother who's in the Army, and your story is kind of reminding me of a saying that he says is very common in the Army. It's actually kind of a joke. It's, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is one bite at a time. And so I think that's kind of what you're conveying here, is that let's do what we can do for now, and we'll eat the rest of the elephant later.
I mean, you may look at it, also say that, you know, one byte at a time is what the first vendors did. They took it one file at a time. And if your goal is to eat the entire elephant and you don't care how long it takes, that might work fine. But if you say, we have to consume some part of this elephant by tomorrow, then starting at the wrong part, it doesn't work, right? You want to understand what needs to be eaten first. This is really going off the rails in terms of an analogy. But I think one bite at a time is a great way to approach, you know, a linear thing where you don't need predictability. When you need to deliver something for sure, there needs to be some kind of planning. Maybe it's not even eating. Maybe you want to get acid and just dissolve the elephant, right? I mean, that I think is the art of the possible. We don't need to eat it. We can dissolve it. We can have it carted away in a truck. We can hack it up with machetes. We can bury it deep, right? There's all kinds of ways to make the elephant vanish if that is the goal. And maybe the one bite at a time is the linear approach that can fail.
Just to torture this metaphor a little more. So maybe one bite at a time, but maybe smart about where you're taking those bites. So that makes sense. So I got to ask this question because, you know, I have a soft spot for PHP. Why, if you have a working application in PHP, why even convert it over to something else?
They didn't ask me to convert it. They wanted to get it online. They said, here's a bunch of code. We don't understand the database. We don't know how to get it online. We have data in a flat file, but not an actual database system. They had these pieces. I think the first vendor had tried to bring it online, just couldn't get it to work. The second vendor had tried to actually rewrite it, and they had failed because it was the rabbit hole. They didn't care if it was PHP or ASP.NET or whatever. They just wanted the site on. I proposed, let's just rewrite this thing. I can do that translation to get just the HTML part working.
You've sort of conveyed this art of the possible idea in this podcast. If I wanted to learn more about this, research more about this kind of approach, can you recommend any resources or books or any sort of thing?
There is a book, and I think it is called The Art of the Possible, where I think that term came from. I read it many, many years ago when I first started at my current company. I can't remember much beyond that, the name of the title and maybe a couple of stories in the book. But I remember the idea or that aspect of really focusing on values and focusing on something that you can predict and control and then using that to deliver something predictable. And beyond that, I don't know. It just seems like it's something that you practice until you get it.
I'll put a link to that book in the show notes. You can find those at crosscuttingconcerns.com. Before we go, is there anything else you'd like to promote or maybe contact information you'd like to give out?
I can promote my blog, which is petrie-johnson.com. There's very little content on there, but maybe if I see more than like one person a month going to the URL, I'll be inclined to blog some more. And you can get all of my contact information, my Twitter, my GitHub, my LinkedIn, whatever else is relevant from the blog.
My guest today has been Seth Petrie Johnson. Thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you.
This has been the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves, 2017. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. Hosting for this podcast was made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Audacity, Skype, and Camtasia Recorder. The theme music is by The Dirty Truckers. You can buy the music on Amazon or iTunes. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on a future episode, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com to submit your name and idea.